May manna from heaven flow from heaven to you. Amen. Please be seated. It was only a month and a half since they'd been lifetime slaves in a foreign land. It was only a month and a half since Moses campaigned to set them free and to emigrate from Egypt had succeeded. It was only a month and a half since God had saved them from destruction when the superpower had second thoughts and the troops came out to hunt them down in the desert. It was only a month and a half into their march to freedom across the desert when the culture of complaint replaced the culture of gratitude. Oh, how fickle is human nature, and how we keep that tradition alive. On a chart of 1 to 10, what is your gratitude level? On a chart of 1 to 10, what is your complaint level? Gratitude, says an old proverb, is the root of all virtue. Give thanks in all things, says the Apostle Paul. But if you're like me, or you're like Moses' lot, gratitude drains away like water off a duck's back. Unless we learn from those desert people how to put in place a spiritual discipline of regular gratitude. How can we do it? Well, each day when we rise up, we say, thank you for a new day, even when the sun isn't shining. Then we can say, I arise today in the joy of the divine birther, in gratitude for the gift of life, for the earth as my bed, and love as my soul's bread. But of course, we don't only have to work at our gratitude stuff, we have to work to get rid of our culture of complaint disease. Unparalleled progress. Thank God for Canada's health service. I got my eye drops last week. But I had to queue at 3 different places and meet 3 different people and sign in 100 different forms, and so I began to complain. Spirit of complaint, when I should have been overflowing with gratitude. And when we can't get a pill on demand or a treatment today, or a nurse who's like an angel 24 hours every day and always on tap, we complain. And the crisis of rising expectations overwhelms us and overwhelms the people who are here to supply our needs. And we complain that we have to pay taxes and we fail to be thankful for the people who clean our streets and provide food and energy supplies and street security and education for the kids that we all take for granted. And so, we Christians need a spiritual discipline to overcome the disease of complaint. What about, somebody I know does this, every time they use a swear word or say something negative, they put something in a charity box. Quite often they get quite poor. And then another spiritual discipline, every day we decide, who can I give a word of encouragement to today? It's a great idea. It's good fun. It just kind of turns the tide. Well, they complained about Moses and his brother for bringing them into such a hard place, but they were really complaining about God. So my first point is gratitude. My second point is providence. The people thought It's not fair that we have to put up with all this in the desert, with not enough food and comfort. God thought, I need to get them to a place where they depend on me and look to me. Well, I've been on the internet to look up the various theories about what the manna was. The quails, of course, were birds. And there are plenty of quails around in the world today. And it's my speculation is a whole lot of quails had flown an awful long way and they were so exhausted they collapsed in the desert just where those Israelites were. So they had plenty to eat. Good food. But what about the manna? Well, I think the most likely form in which this manna came was a crystallized honeydew of certain scale insects. Wikipedia tells me this. And in a desert, this rapidly dries due to evaporation of its water content and becomes a sticky solid, considered a delicacy in the Middle East. And it's full of great carbohydrates. So here the old complaining people of Moses got their manna from heaven, and they had all the carbs they needed. In the Celtic Christian tradition, Christians intentionally, in various seasons, get out of their comfort zones, their familiar places, and go into a desert, so to speak. Maybe a deserted spot in an inner city. There, to allow God to meet them in their place of need or weakness. And when we do that, then we can cry out with our being, "Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore." And when we make this a spiritual discipline, we learn to live out of our vulnerability and to live the precarious joy of defenseless love. That's where God wanted to get them to. And that's where God wants to get us to. Gratitude, providence, and lastly, rhythm. There is this reality that God calls us to embrace, the rhythm. They became a consumer society. They went from a complaining society into a consumer society without a blink to say thank you when God provided them with all this manna. And they gathered the manna each day. They didn't make shopping lists when they went into the supermarket, so that they didn't just buy everything that's being dangled before their eyes, so to speak. But they forgot that God had taught them to give creation and themselves a rest one day in seven. We call it the Sabbath principle. The rhythm. God gives us rhythm so that we can renew and not burn out. That should be our trademark as Christians. If you want a tattoo, do the rhythm tattoo. Not burnout, but renewal. In other words, God calls us to sustainable living as individuals and as a society. Thank God you planted your garden out there. Our society is not sustainable. If we consume more than we put back into the earth and into our bodies and souls, we crash. My community of Aidan and Hilda calls me to create a rhythm of prayer, work, and recreation. Now, recreation can mean rest. It will mean rest. But it can also mean, it doesn't mean passivity. It means having fun, creating spaces for fun, for chilling out, for developing buried creativities that have never come to life. So we begin to go with the flow and get renewed. So it's doing what renews us. That isn't selfish. That's what God wants us to be like. It's a Sabbath principle extended to all of life. It's the principle of honouring seasons of the body and of the soul. In conclusion, let us remind ourselves that this one-off experience of Moses' people in the desert became a parable, a memorable graphic illustration of how God wanted his people in all times and in all places to live. That is why when they got settled in the Promised Land and they created worship institutions, at the Passover they retold the story of their wandering through the desert and of the manna from heaven. And when they celebrated the harvest, they built little tents or little huts with open roofs so that they could remind themselves that they depended on God alone and not on their palaces. It reminds us that at heart we are pilgrims together on this earth. We have not arrived. We do not possess. We do not possess what we use. We're pilgrims for the love of God, listening to God, proving his providence, walking on, practicing gratitude in the little things, abandoning ourselves to the milk-giving breasts of providence, living the rhythm. So I want to show my gratitude by thanking Canada for giving Britain Mark Carney to teach us how to live responsible finance. And I want to ask you to join me in living the rhythm. In the words of Sweet Charity, the musical, and the rhythm of life is a powerful beat, puts a tingle in your fingers, puts a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street. Yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Amen.